The numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Good Wednesday morning to you. It is a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, and of course, SiriusXM Channel 158. Gil Alexander, Kelly Bidlin in the hizzy. It's happening.
Not much. How we doing?
Not much. See your pat answer. Not much.
Not much. It's early.
Great show today. Will Hill will join us momentarily, the host of the Shoulda Bet More podcast. All his bets, NFL and more, it says. And more. We'll do that. College basketball with Hoops. Greg Hoops Peterson on College Hoops later this hour. The NFL whip around. We'll go around the horn, if you will. All week 14 NFL games. Give our thoughts. ATS. Survivor. You know how that goes. Totals. Nick Whalen a little later on to talk week 14 with us and some NBA maybe. Warren Sharp, Todd Wishnev a little later on. The Wishnev College Hoops heater continues.
Really? Still going?
Oh, man. Nice. Lastly, yesterday he was insane. It was insane. But you know.
Good for him.
Let's keep that quiet. Teaser time as well, a little later on the show. Didn't we lose that in the divorce? Yeah, we lost Tuesday teaser time, I believe it was.
Teaser
Tuesdays. Teaser Tuesdays we lost in the divorce. That's right. Okay. I want to crescendo here in the first segment to a couple bets I made this morning, but I just want to ask you, sir, Mr. NBA, a question right off the top before sure. We get to got college football things to say. But okay, Chris Paul in the dead of the night, released by the Clippers.
Yes.
This was where he was supposed to retire, right? He's retiring at the end of the season.
Yep.
And they sent him home from Atlanta. They're like, we've had enough of you. We stink. I just want to be clear that I'm paraphrasing Lawrence Frank. We just want to be clear. It's not your fault that we stink, but go home anyway. And then what happened? And then two nights ago, the drama with LeBron talking to the Suns bench and JJ Redick, you know, like, hey, Bron, mm-hmm. Bron, we're running a play.
Had to burn a timeout.
Yep. Had to burn a timeout. LeBron was still talking to the Suns bench. My question to you is a simple. What is wrong with your league? What's the deal?
Well, I think those are a variety of different questions and answers with those two subjects.
Give me the LeBron thing. The Chris Paul thing is the Chris Paul thing. But LeBron, what is that?
The Chris Paul thing. I don't want to speculate, but I'm going to speculate, Gil. The never makes you think good things. A legend of the game, that's how you get treated like that. And, like, I mean, I don't know. There's been things that have happened with players recently that make you ask a lot of follow-up questions. So I think there's a lot more details and answers that we need to hear from the Clippers on this. I don't really know how you just... I mean, you cut a legend loose like that in the middle of the night.
Middle of the night.
He announces on Instagram, ESPN's got a follow-up of the Clippers on it, and they get that out of Lawrence Frank. Really not much answers about that on a road trip in between Miami and Atlanta. So I don't know. I'm really interested, curious to hear about that. And then LeBron, I don't know. It was a silly, I would like to think that was a silly once-in-a-season type thing that you would see out of him. But, LeBron's a bigger issue right now. LeBron don't look like LeBron so far this year. The jumper's off. He's still coming back. I think he's still working back from this injury. And the bigger long-term problem for the Lakers is how does he really fit in next to Luka Doncic and Austin Reeves, who have been so awesome and were so awesome with him out of the lineup.
First time in his life he's ever been second fiddle. Clear second fiddle.
Clear, right? I mean, yeah. We remember this conversation. This was such a big deal when he joined the Heat. In 2010, we're talking 15 years ago, right? How would he operate with Dwayne Wade?
How does this end? That's all I want to know. How does this end with him?
In disaster. I don't know. I don't. I mean, it really just does it get to a point where he demands a trade?
He demands it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. By the way, I'm busy talking to the opposing bench. You and better trade me.
And is there any team that, you know, is actually going to want to put, you know, pony up what yeah. they're going to need to?
You know what? They should have not played him and not let him get to his 10-point thing, that streak that
I was
going to
say, that was another stuff. Yeah. That was the bigger gambling story from that night, was his 10-point streak continued.
Which people bet on.
Man, they used to offer that prop. I don't know if FanDuel's still offering that.
All right,
yeah.
Just curious. I just want to know how it ends. It's fascinating to watch the soap opera that is the NBA. Oklahoma City wins again for those who have the 70 wins prop, or specifically the 74 wins prop, to break the all-time record. Well, played the Dubs last night, the team that has the record of 73, beat them. What are we now, 21-1? Is that what we are?
Yep.
Wow. All right. What do? You got to go. You got to go 53-7 the rest of the way. 53-7. That's all.
Big night from Denny last night.
Avdija
again, 25-14-8 for him. Blazers lose, though, to the Raptors.
But cover. Drew had that one, right?
Yeah.
Okay, college football, the fifth iteration of the six college football rankings yesterday. And I just want to say this, will be the last I'll mention this till next week when it's all said and done. Because I'm tired of making this argument, and just I'm so sick of the subjectivity of all of it. The committee is just so ridiculous how they apply whatever reasoning they want to anything on any given week, let alone any given year, and all that stuff. But I will say this last night, the noteworthy thing is this. So there's first of all, on the one hand, there's the fascination of if Duke wins the ACC title game, right? If they win the conference championship, will the committee put in a 5-loss Duke team? And I already, we've already talked about that ad nauseum, where it's like, no, probably not. We might get 2 Group of 5s, right? We might get a James Madison and a North Texas, or a James Madison and Tulane, right? Which already is Michigas in the, the final 12 to have 2 of those teams in. But the big thing that I wanted to talk about Monday, this past Monday, was, okay, what if the disaster scenario, as I said, what if Alabama wins the SEC title and BYU specifically wins the Big 12 championship game against Texas Tech? Then which of the teams that everyone was acting like was a done deal that we're in, specifically Oklahoma, Notre Dame, or Ole Miss, which is the team that's going to get bounced? And I think we have our answer now, which is Notre Dame, who falls in the rankings. Ole Miss went up in the rankings, so the committee is not applying any Lane Kiffin's not there reasoning to anything, because they're an SEC team.
Which also just feels like a statement, right? To move them up one spot,
these rules don't apply to SEC teams. Yeah. And then Oklahoma, which I think a lot of people think is the worst of those three teams, although they're not, that doesn't apply to them either. So it looks like Notre Dame is now positioned to be the team in that scenario that gets bounced. Forget about the Vandys and the Texases of the world and the Miamis in that scenario. They're toast also. But now here was the thing. Alabama now moves up to 9 ahead of Notre Dame. So now I get the impression that, forget the first part of that where I said, well, if Alabama wins the SEC title game and BYU wins the Big 12, forget about the Alabama part. I think even if Alabama loses the SEC title game in anything that isn't a blowout, I think they're in no matter what. Now it appears to me by this ranking move, I think they're in as a 3-loss team. Why, Kelly? Because they're Alabama. Okay?
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
So no rules apply to them. No. Right. So, and then if BYU wins, the same thing still applies. Notre Dame is out. But if BYU loses, so let's say Alabama loses, BYU loses, I think Alabama's still in. And now I think there's an opening for Miami, because Notre Dame falling, and Notre Dame is ranked 10th, Miami's ranked 12th. That's not the bracket, but that's in terms of the rankings. Mm-hmm. Now they've gotten they've gotten Notre Dame and Miami as close as possible together. And so in the scenario where BYU, the team in between them, loses, I think then the committee, this question that has plagued them this entire process, right, which is, well, what do you mean Miami beat Notre Dame, which they haven't been able to reason away,
right,
as much as they've tried doing backflips doing it. I think in that scenario, Miami gets in over Notre Dame because now there's no other teams to pollute it in between. So I think, conclusion, Notre Dame is toast any which way. I think Notre Dame is done.
I find it. It's just comical to me because it feels like it is several years in a row now. Maybe since the beginning, but just always feels like this, the second to last, third to last ones are just the sole goal, Gil, is to move everybody in motion. Correct. That gives you the most outs possible.
Well, it's
when you've got to finally make decisions, you've lined up things that you can explain it in a way that will, whatever, maybe pass the eye test for a lot of people.
It's positioned to justify what happens after these championship games.
Right.
Where, because they, in the past, they've done it beyond, in the last possible iteration of a ranking where they're like, oh no, we don't want to surprise people at the end. Let's just set it up so that we can justify it now. Anyway, that's the reaction to that. Alabama minus 1800 to make the college football playoff. Cause I think win or lose, unless it's a blowout, right? But I think win or lose to close, they're in. Last thing before we move on to Will Hill, cause Will Hill is standing by. And
hey, UNLV made the board.
Yo, 30-1 to make the college football playoff. good luck. Okay. The last thing is, Kelly, we think about things to talk about on the next day. Kelly does a great job of saying, oh, this is an interesting market. Let's talk about this. So last night, you found Stage of Elimination over at DraftKings in the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
And the way that you couch it, this segment is coming up later in the show, just telegraphing the pass here. We're going to do it almost with a comical twist, because it's going to be only about teams that we don't think good things right. about.
I'm going to put our feet to the fire. It's the teams that everybody thinks we hate and talk a lot of crap about. We're going to actually discuss.
We're going to predict the stage of elimination. And then, of course, when it all is said and done at the end of the year, we're going to go back and laugh at ourselves.
Yeah, when the Bears win a Super Bowl. Yep, something like that. Yep.
But in that process.
You found some other ones.
In that process, as some would say, I was almost annoyed that we were going to talk about that because I was like, how is this a bet? The Dallas Cowboys, who I have power ranked 11th, probably you have them in the top 10,
mm-hmm.
and are playing as well as anybody in the National Football League, to lose in the divisional round, they're 12-1, stage of elimination bets, to lose in the conference championship, they're 22-1. Now, they haven't been to a conference title game, since I believe it was the Taft administration in the early 1900s.
So sounds right.
I might have that wrong. We'll do an investigation. But this team, the rest of their schedules we discussed yesterday, to the game tomorrow night. Now, I'm correct in saying it's tomorrow night as opposed to yesterday when I was saying tomorrow.
Yes.
The game tomorrow night at Detroit, where Detroit is banged up big time. That's their hardest game the rest of the way, right? It's Vikings, Chargers at home, at Commanders, at Giants. If the Cowboys lose tomorrow night, I still think it's valid because I still think they could win the rest of their games, get into the playoffs, and I think they're good enough to win a playoff game in a wild card round, and then we're live. But if they win tomorrow night, those numbers that I just quoted, 12-1 and 22-1, are going to crater. Mm-hmm. Crater into low single digits. So I'm just saying, those bets I made this morning,
I love
them. Split them between Cowboys losing the divisional round 12-1, losing conference championship 22-1. Dave Ross, someone check on his health. Excited right now. Anyway, those bets are made. We'll do stage of elimination a little later on. Will Hill, all his bets on the other side. It is a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Want to bet smarter? Start with smarter insights. Right now you can check out Greg Peterson's college basketball top plays. He's coming up on the show a little later on. Lou Finocchiaro's UFC 323 picks. And Steve Mackinnon's first month of college basketball observations. That's all on the website. Later today you can check out Zach Cohen's NBA picks and props, Jonathan Davis's NHL top plays, and Dave Tooley's NFL Week 14 takes. We have extended our Black Friday special until Sunday. Get full access to everything we do until May 1st for only $60. Go to VSiN.com/subscribe now. Kelly, you want to chime in on the Black Friday special, which extends through Sunday?
Check it out. One of the best we've ever had at VSiN. Go get it.
just curious if you wanted to comment on the calendar.
Get it out before Christmas arrives.
Kevin Ryan on Twitter, we get tweets. Gil, what was your reaction to the red zone going split screen and showing post-game interviews with both Aaron Glenn and Bryce Young? I didn't even notice.
I didn't notice either.
I didn't even notice. I think
was there a lull in the action? I'm okay with that.
People, the whole red zone, oh no, they're going to have commercials or they're going to do that. None of that has made any impact on me.
I don't
even notice it.
Although, did I catch they upped them this past week?
Oh yeah, they're about to up them. So we'll see.
About to up them?
I think so.
Did I hear 16 spots?
Yeah, so we'll see if I notice that. But I don't, so far, nothing has bothered me.
Oh, I texted Emerson Lotzia right away. I was like, hey, do you get to, like, it's actually badass in my opinion that you get to be the voice of the guy who ruined red zone for everybody. Like, people right first week were like, oh my God, that DraftKings ad.
The greatest thing that has happened with red zone this year is that, thank God, there are not more Hawkeye situations where Scott Hansen has to openly gush about the NFL's usage of this amazing new technology to the audience of one that is Roger Goodell.
God, this is like one of,
thank God.
This is one of how many NFL rule changes in the past 10 years that seemingly was a thing for the first 3 weeks of the season. They're like, no, this is too tough. Let's just pretend it doesn't exist.
Brian Schaefer, 31, kill Alabama's in regardless. They got to the conference championship. How can you penalize them for that? Or they wouldn't play the game and keep the record the same. They're in over Ole Miss and Texas A&M. Those two teams didn't have to play the championship game. I know that's the rule. But I'm just saying they wouldn't be as adamant about that rule with another team. And now they've made the move with the rankings to justify it if and when Alabama does lose this weekend.
By the way, what's up with my league? For like the 27th consecutive year of my life, we're arguing over the dumbest college football things.
Oh, ever. It's because it's not a sport.
Okay.
It's because it's not a sport.
There you go.
No, we play a regular season, and then, you know, people get in a room and they're like, let's figure out how this works best for us money wise. Will Hill is here, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line at not the Will Hill, V with two E's. Once again, the host of the Shoulda Bet More podcast, also doing write ups at Fox. What is your latest one there, Will? Good morning to you.
Gilly, what's going on? Yeah, I have a few columns a week. Do a column where I pick every NFL game, make a bet for every NFL game. And check out Shoulda Bet More podcast. Mike Sando on today, NFL awards voter. Go through some of these awards, get his thought process on that. So check that out.
Love Sando. Sando is an AP voter as well. We have him on once a year to discuss as well. Soft spoken, has been writing about the NFL for decades now. Good on you. And did you have some, did I see a college football bet or two in there, like a futures bet, or am I completely mistaken about that?
We can get into some college football because I didn't write about this yet. I did talk about this on the podcast. You kind of stole my thunder. Where does that saying come from? I didn't even know I had thunder that could be stolen or where my thunder
That's
would be.
A good one.
I think they're setting it up for Miami to maybe get in here.
Yeah.
Do they really want, if Duke wins this game, wins the ACC title game, do they really want to leave the ACC out? Do they really want Notre Dame, who Miami, who played Notre Dame week one, do they really want to set the precedent of you're going to play a big-time opponent week one, you're going to win, and you're not going to be rewarded for that? Maybe they swap them with Notre Dame. Boy, it's not Nick Saban at Bama anymore. If I'm Bama, don't get blown out on Saturday. I could see them knocking Bama out and saying, you know what, you lost to Florida State, you got blown out by Georgia, you got three losses. Sorry, I'm not sure. But I think Miami, I think it was plus 650 last night at DraftKings. I only have that at FanDuel now, which is ticked down. I think there's a play on Miami. I'm not saying it's likely. I'm not even saying it's a coin flip. I just think that represents value at the plus 650, even in like that 5-1 range. I think that's a good bet just because who knows. And I'm with you guys. I mean, you know this, Gilly, from the group chats. We sit down Saturday at noon until midnight or later, and we watch all these games. We bet all these games. Nobody loves the games more than me, and I know you love them too. Outside of that, just the structure of college football, it's such a circus with Lane Kiffin leaving in the middle of the season, the committee, who I know they're an easy target. I don't go crazy on the committee just because I wouldn't want that job. I mean, I would love for somebody to sit down and make a 12-team bracket and have nobody get upset with it. You're always going to upset somebody. You're splitting hairs with these teams. It's so subjective, but I don't know. The structure of college football sometimes, it does just, imagine if we did this in the NFL or any other sport.
Oh.
The Chiefs are 10-7, but they've got a good strength or whatever, so let's put them in. And people would lose their minds. It's just, it's better than it used to be, but it's just a crazy structure.
Or the Chiefs, Patrick Mahomes got hurt this final game. I guess you guys, can't have you in the playoffs. Sorry. You know, you lost your quarterback, so you're not the same team, a la FSU. But I do think it's like compared to college basketball is maybe the more appropriate one, which is, all right, you know, when we had a 48-team tournament, we argued about who was the 48th and 49th. When it's 64, I guess now 68 with the play-ins, or whatever they're calling it now, we argue about the 69th. But that argument goes away in about 2 hours, right? Mm-hmm. Right when the game starts. As long as you only have 12, now this is the other problem. When we had four, it was almost less argument, you know, with it, maybe as much. But, and you know, until you make it little more, you know, get to 16 or then get to, then the length of those debates dwindles the more teams you have in. There'll still be debate. It just won't be as glaring as it is now. That's interesting. We talk about a million things on the group chat. You and I did not talk about the Miami theory here. But we are aligned on that. And the Alabama, just don't get blown out part of this. Did you make any bets for championship week?
I like Indiana plus 4.5. It's unusual to say in a Big Ten title game with undefeated Ohio State, Heisman on the line. And that's a fascinating race. I can't remember the last time we went into a Heisman Saturday with a pretty wide open race. Even though last year it was close. You know, Hunter was a monster favorite. I don't think we're going to have that this year unless Indiana wins. But I like Indiana plus the points. Again, it's unusual to say this would be like a letdown game for Ohio State, but Ohio State, they care about winning a national championship and beating Michigan. And I'm not sure that's the correct order of those two things. They finally beat Michigan for the first time since 2019. I think Indiana is really damn good. You can kind of poke holes in Ohio State in terms of their schedule. Since Texas in week one back in the summer, a game they were outgained, they really haven't played that soft, that tough of a schedule. It's been a pretty soft schedule. Indiana won by 10 at Oregon in a game where they threw a pick six. That's more impressive to me than anything Ohio State's done. So I'll take the 4.5. I think it'll be a good game, a field goal game. We'll see where Ohio State is at a week after beating Michigan. But I think Indiana plus the points is a play here.
And did you not say, and I think you're right about this, because we talked about Diego Pavia winning the Heisman yesterday, how about the voting block, you know, Chris Felica's, by the way, Chris Felica, shout out to him for lobbying for Miami. His lobbying has finally come through, I think, on all that, on the other matter. But we're talking about voting blocks. I think he had a great point about Pavia. Now he's the only SEC candidate for the Heisman, and that the West doesn't have another candidate, so their votes might go to him, and that Mendoza and Sayin are both Big Tens, and they might, or regional also, in the same region of the country, so they might get split. But if Indiana wins, there's no way they're not giving this to Mendoza, right?
Oh, if Indiana wins, Mendoza goes to like a minus 5,000 favorite. If Indiana loses, it's interesting. If Indiana loses and he plays well and he loses 31-28 and he plays tremendous, I'm not sure. I think it's, if Indiana loses, it's a fascinating race. If Indiana wins, it's case closed. I think even if Indiana won an ugly game, it would be case closed. But it's a really fascinating race, and I think a three-man race now, which I didn't think. I was doing the live bet show Saturday, and Pavia threw two interceptions and threw them too early. And this is one of my worst takes ever. So that's probably it for Pavia. Two picks. He needed to play perfect. Well, he played pretty perfect after that. So we're looking at, I think, a three-man race here.
All right. Anything else in college football, college basketball, or you want to go to the NFL?
Let's do some NFL. These Ravens-Steelers games to me, just you look at all of them, it's 17-13, 17-10. It's an underfest. Lamar is hurt. Rodgers might be shot. Tomlin's a conservative coach, so I know it's moved down a little bit. I gave it out Monday with Dave and Jensen, but I still like it under 42.5. And I'm with you on Dallas. I like them plus the three tomorrow. I just think this is the same thing I said last week when they played the Chiefs. This is now like an average defense to put with like a top two or three offense. That blends out to come to a pretty damn good team here. So I'll take them plus the three against a Lions team that's pretty beat up. And as we're going here the last minute or so, I talked about this with Mike Sando. I don't know that it's just a two-man race for MVP because May has a very shaky case. He doesn't have a lot of great statistical games. It's been a soft schedule. He hasn't had like these comeback wins. It's just been ho-hum performances against lousy teams. If Stafford doesn't win the division, does that open the door for Dak or Love or Darnold? I'm not sure where the bet is. I would say Love. Love doesn't feel like an MVP, but it might be one of those years. Remember 2 years ago when Lamar won it almost by default because Purdy played lousy on Christmas. I wonder if there's a third guy that can get in the mix here. The market seems to think it's a two-man race. I'm not so sure.
I just want people to know that was you who said that about Drake May, not me, for the record. Just for the record. Because people
told me to
say it. I
heard you. Orders.
That's right. It's on my script.
I told him to say it all. That's pretty interesting. And I said this yesterday about all these MVP, offensive player, not so much offensive player of the year, but certainly the biggest ones. MVP in the NFL, Heisman in college football. The lukewarmest markets in terms of candidates that I can remember here recently.
Dak was 101 a week.
Yeah. Just in terms of who can win. Will, thank you, sir. Appreciate it.
See you guys.
Will Hill, should have been more. We'll talk number one seeds in the NFL next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Think you're going to out-handicap one of our own? Well, here's your chance. First Bet is giving you a free chance to take down VSiN's Mike Somich. I know you've been sitting around your house, if I can only take down Somich. Well, now's your chance. Five race showdown Saturday, December 6th. This Saturday, we're talking the H. Allen Jerkins at Gulfstream and four graded stakes at Aqueduct, including the G2 Cigar Mile. You knew that, Kelly.
The Grade 2 Cigar Mile.
Just submit your $2 win place mythical picks and try to end the day with more money than Mike. It's easy. Anyone who does that will split the $5,000 grand prize credited right to your First Bet account. Contest opens this Thursday, December 4th, first.com/VSIN. That's 1st.com/VSIN. Free to enter. Bragging rights included. How about that?
I am absolutely signing up for this.
Ladies and gentlemen, there has been a major oversight on this here program this morning, and it is a major oversight by me. This gentleman to my left, Kelly Bidelon, has a birthday today. Happy birthday, Kelly Bidley, everybody.
Thanks, Gil. Appreciate it, man.
What are you now? What are you, 23, 24? What are you now?
39 years young.
Oh, man. It's a big one next year. 39. How you feeling?
Not excited about it.
Are you one of these guys who likes to live it up on your birthday?
Absolutely not. Why do you think you didn't know about it?
Yeah.
I don't know what your birthday is either. I'm not a birthday guy.
I do not have a birthday.
Yeah. I don't know. I feel like you're the same way. I'm not a big birthday
guy. I'm not a birthday guy.
Especially when you see society default. You know what I heard a couple months ago? I've been ripping on birthday weeks for years now. Like the people turn into a week, and then we'll openly call it their birthday week.
Week.
A few months ago, I heard the term birthday month for the first time.
I know girls in San Francisco, it's like their birthday month. They let you know, oh, it's my birthday month. I'm like, for God's sake.
So, yeah, I'm good.
Are you an adult?
Guess what?
It's my next question.
It's a Wednesday in December. That's what today is.
Congratulations, Kelly Bidlin.
Made it longer than many thought.
One more time around the sun. 39. Or in Roman numerals. What is that in Roman numerals? XXXIX? Is that correct? I believe so. There you go. Well done.
Oh, man, I have to look that one up.
We get tweets beating the book. Always appreciate the feedback. Corbin. Morning, fellas. Had a pretty decent night last night at the blackjack table at our local casino. Had to walk away in the middle of being red hot for a late night appointment. Okay. Going back there today. Any tips if they're going to start kicking me out, Kelly, he says? Any tips?
What do you mean?
You're now the official. What do I do not to get kicked out, guy?
The question is, what do I do once I get kicked out, right?
Well, he's just trying to avoid getting kicked out.
Yeah, maybe don't go back to the same spot.
There's his advice.
No. I mean, Steve brought this up last week or whatever the hell we were talking about it. But most places you do get the pit boss who hovers over the table. If you're feeling the hovering, that's your time to back away.
Okay. This is from let's see here, the great Swami Gator. He says it's hilarious that we had 2 days of being thankful from Gilly Kelly, only to go back to them complaining about everything on Red Zone, college coaches, etc. LOL. And I replied to him. I said, well, except for the fact that we were saying the exact opposite about the Red Zone, that nothing bothers us about it where it does other people. Other than that, your tweet is wonderful.
Yeah, we're fine with that. We complain a lot, though.
Other than that, your tweet is solid. Razorblade says, he says, log into your Calci account and retire. Gil, Notre Dame is 76% to get in. Don't think that qualifies as toast no matter what. Let me just be clear about this. I have no agenda in this. I don't care who gets in. I don't have any bets on the matter. I'm just saying that the way that the committee is setting this up feels to me like that's what they're setting it up to do, that Notre Dame is toast no matter what. You didn't have to listen to me. Will Hill just came on last segment, said the exact same thing about this is setting up for Miami to leapfrog Notre Dame. That's what it feels like to all of us. Okay. AFC number one seed.
Real quick, Gil, got a couple of sort of breaking news notes. Brian Hartline agrees to a 6-year deal with South Florida to become a head coach there.
There you go.
For you USF Bulls fans. And then Ian Rappaport, a couple minutes ago, Mike Evans' practice window has opened. Him and Jalen McMillan back at practice today.
This is the first year where Mike Evans won't get to 1,000, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah, that streak ends. JC, by the way, listener on listener tweets. I love this. He goes, we need to circle back to that late night appointment from the previous tweet with Corbin. Corbin had a late night appointment.
Yeah, that was a...
I like it.
I like how quick the person tweeted it afterwards. That's right. I caught that right away. I like it, Corbin.
All right.
It's like it was hot at the table. You had to go see someone about that.
Yeah, when you have an appointment like that, though, it doesn't matter how hot you are, I guess, at the table.
You might have made that appointment while he was getting hot at the table.
AFC number one seeds, I have been consistent about this for about 4 to 6 weeks now, and now they are the short shot, the Patriots, 11-2, minus 110. I was advocating this about 5 weeks ago when they were plus 700. Hope folks jumped on this, and it all was about the schedule, not because I think the Patriots are all that great. By the way, that Will Hill segment was great because he corroborated a lot of stuff that I say that people hate me for, and he said the exact same thing. Obviously, the Notre Dame thing tweaked some folks, but the Patriots, who people think I hate, and people think I hate Drake May. I don't. I just, their schedule is so easy, right? You can only play who's on your schedule. It's not their fault. But can you properly evaluate them is all we're saying about the Patriots. But number one seed? Sure. The way they play, look, Drake May and the Patriots, the way they beat the Giants the other night, he barely broke a sweat. Mm-hmm. And what's in front of them after the bye week here this week? Bills at home, at Ravens, at Jets, home Dolphins. I mean, what are you losing? One of those, maybe? Maybe? Maybe two? I don't know.
Man, maybe two.
It's a little harder than it's been. Let's put it that way.
You win that schedule. Bills game, though, this is probably over.
But I like the Patriots. I've liked them the whole way. I still like them to win this. Can we flash up the screen again? What some of the other odds were? Broncos, who have won few. By the way, just look at the records. So it's really a two-team race at this point, right? Yeah. Like, that's all it is. It's Patriots versus Broncos. And I just don't trust. First of all, the Broncos still have a much harder schedule than that of the Patriots. 542 aggregate remaining win percentage for remaining opponents for the Broncos. 458 remaining for the Patriots. So, and the, you know, So I just think it's the, I think it's the Patriots. I think it's always been the Patriots for as long as we've been doing this.
I think this market's tough right now to make a bet.
Yeah,
right,
I think it's over. Now. I don't think you make the bet anymore.
Yeah, right. Yeah. I don't know that I'd jump in right now because it is, I mean, gosh, I'd even like to make a case for, okay, Bill's going to play the Patriots. Could the Bills have a chance here? I don't know that we've tried to poke holes in the Patriots and Broncos for weeks and weeks and weeks here. So I don't know that it would be completely out of the realm of possibility in my mind that those teams could lose a couple games down the stretch here, no matter who they're playing, no matter how easy the schedule is. But just like it's two losses to four. Right? We've run out of runway for these teams to really catch up. I was going to say,
could the Bills or do you have any confidence in the Bills or Jaguars leapfrogging from three wins down at this point? So, but they do have a game to play that the so it could be two wins down.
Right, let's right. Say you do have the head to head advantage. The problem is down as I am on the Jaguars, Colts, and Chargers here too. You can't just say, hey, I like the Bills and it's a three team race. Like you can't ignore that there are three other teams that have the same record as them. Well, so if I had to, I think it's going to end up being Patriots.
I think it's going to end up being Patriots. Well, let me see if I can make the case here, though. So the Bills, right? The Bills now play.
If I had to make a bet today, Gil, it would be on the Bills.
It would be on the Bills, who are 15-1, have the 17th. So a middling remaining schedule, right? But here's how it would work for the Bills. They would win this week, right? They'd be two back. Then they'd beat the Patriots. Mm-hmm. And then the season series would have split.
Right.
And then they're one back and it would go to tiebreakers beyond the head to head. So, I mean, there's a path,
mm-hmm.
right? There is a path there for the Bills.
Definitely a path. And that's a schedule they could win out. They could win the rest of the way.
NFC number one seed. Now this is a little more interesting.
Yeah.
A little more interesting. Bears, Rams, Seahawks, all at 9-3. Look at the difference of the odds. The Bears are 7-1. Why? Because they have the fifth hardest remaining schedule. Note that the Seahawks have the fourth highest or hardest remaining schedule per aggregate win percentage of opponents, and yet they're plus 320. They're less than half the odds than that of the Bears. The Rams are the, by schedule remaining of those 9-3 teams, they're the proper shortest shot at plus 145. Do you believe the Packers or Niners? Niners have 9 wins, but they have a bye this week. So those three teams, Bears, Rams, Seahawks, all 9-3. Niners are 9-4 with the bye this week. Packers are 8-3-1. Eagles, 8-4, I should say. Is there any other team there besides the Rams that you think you would bet on here? There's no bet for me here.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think the Rams probably still have a little bit of value at plus 145.
A little bit.
They're going to play the Seahawks. The 49ers, I wouldn't write them out of this conversation. They're going to get a chance. And I think if you're playing in this market, this is what you want, right? You want shots at the teams that are ahead of you. They're going to play the Bears and the Seahawks later in the season. So you got 4 games left. They're on the bye, as you said. It's Titans.
It will be decided on the field. The
Titans and then at the Colts, and then they get the Bears and Seahawks at home to end the season. So there's a chance that they're still alive for this. If I had to bet, it probably would be a bet there.
I do feel like the Niners are the forgotten team of the NFL this year.
Totally, man. They're just getting healthier, getting a little bit better all around.
And maybe justifiably so. Maybe they will be forgotten, when the wild card when they lose. I don't know.
They're forgotten, but really nothing has changed about them since preseason when we discussed. We were like, well, they're injured, but their schedule's so easy, they're going to end up being in the playoffs.
What I mean about forgotten team is all the contenders in this completely throw all, 12 teams up in the year NFL season. They're the one we've talked the least about.
Agree.
I feel like. Mm-hmm. So maybe it's just us. But I don't think it's just us.
I don't think it's just us.
Yeah. I mentioned during Guessing Lines the Dougie that Brock Purdy broke out when he scored the other day. Mm-hmm. It's a very solid Dougie.
It was.
Very solid.
George Kittle gave him some props after the game.
Yeah, man. Very solid. We'll come back. Greg Peterson on College Hoops, and we will do stage of elimination markets for a lot of NFL teams. Coming up, it's a numbers game right here at Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
VSIN, the Sports Betting Network.
Oh, we get tweets at Beating the Book. By the way, back at Circa Resort Casino, downtown Las Vegas, Gil Alexander, Kelly Bidlin here on a numbers game. We get tweets, Kelly. It's Kelly's birthday, y'all. I didn't know that.
Scott has the craziest birthday month tweet I've ever seen.
Oh, there's tons of
these. In my life.
There's tons of these. Danny Rode, happy birthday, Kelly. December birthdays are the best, he says. Martin Bernstein, happy birthday, Kelly. Another year on the headstone. Spence. Spence, Lions fan here, but surprised the line for tomorrow hasn't moved closer to a pick'em. Help me understand why the Lions are favored, please. Just because it's drift from last year still, I think. People still feel like the Lions at this moment are a better football team than the Cowboys in the market. I don't think they are. I'm with you.
So was it 5.5 on the look ahead? So it has moved a lot already.
Grant, betting X factors. Happy birthday, good sir. My sister-in-law is turning 40 this year, and she's turned it into the giant, the year of Brooke. It's included multiple events we've had to travel for. I blame Seinfeld, Summer of George, for all of this madness.
I mean, what are we taught? Multiple events you've had to travel for?
It's the year of Brooke, Kelly. Wow. The real Knicks. It's Kelly's birthday. It's mine, too.
It's also Tyler Shoemaker's, by the way. Happy birthday, Tyler Shoemaker.
Happy birthday, Tyler
Shoemaker. He posted a video of him dunking this morning. Sorry, I did not do the same.
You didn't do the same. Yeah, well, your calf would have exploded.
Yes.
Nick, real Knicks. It's Kelly's birthday. It's mine, too. I knew we were kindred spirits. Of course, I have almost 20 years on you. LOL. It's also our first without our birthday brother, Ozzy Osbourne, who apparently shared a birthday with you, RIP. That's right. Oh, well, I'm headed off to Denny's for free breakfast. Cheers. Oh, you get free breakfast at Denny's, Kelly. I guess on your birthday. Gil, I have a bone to pick. People should not announce to the world their birthday week/month, but I turned 50 in October, and I'm still celebrating God blanket. I'm more like Paulie and Mitch ranting at kids racing into elevators and jerks in traffic. Is that what those guys do? Fred Courier, waiting for Kelly's weather update. Fred Courier, since yesterday, has been railing on Kelly for complaining about the weather. Waiting for your weather update.
You know what? It was a little warmer this morning. I didn't have to bring a jacket.
Spence, happy birthday, Kelly. My ex-wife thought she deserved a spring break in her 40s. T. Sheldahl, I remember my first appointment. We all do, T. Sheldahl. Scott, New York Mets 16. This is the one you're talking about. My wife is one of those birthday month people. My son was born C-section, and she made the appointment for February 1st because January was her month.
What?
She's got to have her birthday month before the kid can pop out.
She couldn't share it with the kid at all?
Wow.
That's wild.
Las Vegas 514, yo. Happy birthday to young Kelly Bidlin. This is just a regular day, and I'm sure you're not expecting any gifts. What was a younger Kelly's best birthday gifts?
Oh, God. How young? I mean, like, you for the past, like, 20 years, it's just been, like, go out for a hard night of drinking.
I mean, when you were a kid. What was the birthday present you remember above all?
I don't know. I'd have to think on that.
Okay. All right. We got tons of these. I can go on. But Greg Peterson is standing by. Courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. You can follow him on Twitter at GUnit_81. The man who has two streaks alive. And I'm talking about lifetime streaks. 12 miles a day running, which is, you know, again, gone on forever. Over a decade. And then he also has the streak of college basketball podcasts. Has not missed a day. Give us the length of the streaks on both of those, Greg, if you would.
Well, for the jogging, pretty much since I moved to Las Vegas, so we're going on 9 years there. And for the college basketball podcast, since the beginning of the 2019-20 season, we have quite literally had more pandemics than I've had missed college basketball podcast since the beginning of the 2019-20 season.
More pandemics.
That is a great stat.
Good line.
That is a good stat right there. Well, I know you have a ton of picks here. First of all, are you enjoying the ACC-SEC challenge, more competitive, as you said, off air, than it was in previous years?
Oh, this has been fantastic because the ACC won two more games than the three of us last season. They got completely destroyed in this challenge, and they have turned the tide. They are currently leading this challenge, if I'm not mistaken, 6-3. If my offhand math is correct, this has been great, and we've been seeing some really competitive basketball. I have thoroughly enjoyed this. I'm still missing the Big Ten versus ACC challenge that we used to get. I wish we got more of these because I love seeing these teams tested in a true road environment, but this has been great. And a lot of people are saying, oh, how do you follow Feast Week? Starting Big Ten Conference play and the SEC-ACC challenge, I would say that college basketball is doing a pretty darn good job. All we need is more random college basketball games in Hawaii now to really make me happy.
All right, before we get into your Fab Five of picks, Greg's Fab Five, who's the best team in the country so far to you?
Whew, that is tough because if you're looking resume and resume alone, you just have to give it to Michigan.
Yeah.
What they did out here in lovely Las Vegas and the way that they just dump trucked all of those good teams, that's incredible, but it's the old Ric Flair mentality as well. In order to be the man, you got to beat the man. Purdue was the number one team in college basketball, and they haven't done anything to lose that title. They go on the road, and if you took the very late number on Rutgers, you were able to get there with 16.5, 17 points, but Lions to go to the rack and win by 16 points yesterday. That's relatively impressive. Like I said, if I have to do it right now, I'm going with Michigan, but that's a little bit of a moving target because I think that there's a little bit of a case to be made for Duke as well. They didn't necessarily look impressive against Florida yesterday, but they do somehow, some way find a way to be able to get the job done. But I really do think that your top two teams in college basketball right now reside in the Big Ten with Michigan and Purdue.
Okay, to Greg's Fab Five, we will crescendo to a couple ACC-SEC challenge games at the end, but let's start with some others, beginning with Minnesota and Indiana, where Golden Gophers are 11-point dogs.
Yep, I'm going to be taking a shot on Minnesota. Right now, they're allowing teams to shoot over 35.5% from three. Think that there's going to be a little bit of positive regression with that shooting for Nico Medved's squad. Got a guy in Cade Tyson, who he was very much forgotten about over at North Carolina last year, 2 years ago at Belmont. He was one of the better scorers in all of college basketball. This was more around 10.5, 11 overnight. Now we're seeing this go down to 10, but I still think that you've got plenty of value here with an Indiana team that they're pretty much straight up on the glass, the same as this Minnesota team. They entered Tuesday 39th in terms of rebound percentage for Indiana. Minnesota at 41st. Jalen Crocker Johnson has been rock solid down low. It's a Indiana team that's been very efficient on the offensive side of things, but Minnesota, they typically play very slowly under Nico Medved. You saw that in his time at Colorado State. They're at a 144. That's starting to become my buy point on the under, but I like the points here with Minnesota between 10 and 11.
All right, this game got on the list because our producer Danny Higgins has a bet himself on this. This is completely self-serving.
Hey.
On his part. He wants to find out what your thought is on Elon and Furman.
Elon, all of a sudden, the top 100 team in terms of points scored on a per possession basis, and Furman. I thought the team was going to win the SoCon this year. Massive disappointment. Furman always good in terms of their two-point shooting percentage, and they are this year. They're right now clocking in 332nd in terms of points scored on a per-possession basis. So they lost their entire backcourt from a season ago. Now you've got an Elon team that they find a way without the Simpkins brothers from a season ago, along with Matthew Van Komen, a 7'4" big man, to actually be even better in terms of their offensive rebound percentage. They've really been able to ascend with their three-point shooting. They're starting to gun it a little bit more. I feel like this Elon team is being a little bit undervalued because a lot of people are looking at that name brand of Furman. Give me Elon here, not just with a +2.5, but on the money line.
You know what a paladin is? Birthday boy, Kelly Bidlin? You
know, no.
Furman paladin. A paladin can refer to a legendary
knight or something?
Medieval knight. There yeah. You go. Like one of Charlemagne's 12 peers.
Right?
I think it's a Dungeons and Dragons thing. I'm being told by Google as well.
Oh.
That as well. All right, Northwestern, Wisconsin. What do you got here?
I like the under in this ordeal. Even though Wisconsin has sped themselves up about 101st in the country in terms of total possession spree, Northwestern still a slow and controlled team. Wisconsin has been really allowing it from three over the last few seasons, but Northwestern has not necessarily been that same offense away from them. Now, I was seeing this line right around 9, 9.5. That would be a buy point for me on Northwestern, but this Wisconsin team has been a little bit pedestrian with their three-point shooting at 33%. They've been a little bit better in terms of generating turnovers as well. So I do think that you see a little bit of a downward tick in terms of the overall scoring, especially with Big Ten Conference play starting up. So won't take a shot on the under. And if you're still getting the 9, 9.5, like I'm seeing with Northwestern, won't take those points as well.
All right. To the ACC ACC-SEC challenge. I almost went back in time here. Mississippi State, Georgia Tech, under 149.5. You're going under that total, you said?
Yes, sir, we are. Even though Mississippi State about 49th in the country in terms of total possessions frame, they just have never shot the three well under Chris Jans. Right now, they're about 210th in the country, and that's actually their best rating ever. But Georgia Tech, good on defense. Top 30 team in terms of points allowed on a per possession basis. Outside the top 280 in terms of points per possession, they lost their point guard, Nathan George. That has really hurt them. So if I'm looking at the side with Mississippi State, I'm willing to lay the 2.5. But for Georgia Tech, they've been able to do a nice job in terms of hunkering down with that defense. Their possession numbers are a little bit warped by them playing a double overtime game to begin the season. So I think that they're going to be mid-tempo when it's all said and done. I like the under and laying 2.5 with Mississippi State.
And number 5, NC State and Auburn. You like a total there?
Yep, I'm in on the under. Both of these teams outside the top 100 in terms of total possessions frame. You go back to Will Wade and what he did over at McNeese. This team was one of the better teams defensively in all of college basketball. And for NC State, they're shooting over 41% from three. I think that's a number that goes downward. They got the help of the Maui Rims last week. And now face off against an Auburn team, I think is going to be a little bit improved around the perimeter with their defense. So going to look at that under.
Greg, enjoy the run today. Always have your head on a swivel, sir.
Always will, my friend. Thank you so much.
Greg Peterson, everybody. At GUnit_81 on Twitter. Always firing. There's your Fab Five from him. A little NFL whip around next on A Numbers Game.